Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, of the Sea pattern review, casting on the next project, and some serious planning ahead. Hello, this is episode 49. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ordinitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. Pardon me while I fiddle with my microphone. If you've listened to the last couple of episodes, you'll know that I've been knitting a large jumper for my large husband, a large and lovely jumper for my large and lovely husband, and it's taken ages. This is partly because it's just very big, but also because I lost my knitting mojo in July. I put this down in part to the project being so big and so heavy, considering that it was the summer months, and also an extremely repetitive pattern. If you're interested in hearing more about loss of mojo and the wisdom or otherwise of planning winter jumpers for knitting in the summer, listen to episode 48. I find it hard to credit, to be honest, that it was only two episodes ago that I was reviewing Hertz. That's German for hearts, it's nothing to do with pain. That was at the end of April, which demonstrates to me very clearly how long this man jumper has been dragging on. 4 months to knit a jumper. Anyway, it's finished, and it's time to review the pattern. Of the Sea by Drops is an Aran Weight men's jumper. I was mildly concerned whether I was allowed to describe it as that in these gender fluid days, and my teenager constantly takes me to task over it. It's old hat to use designations such as male and female, but it's how the jumper is categorised in Ravelry, and the photo shows it worn by a man, as indeed this one will be. So there we are, it's a men's jumper. There's no pattern description as such, so if I was to describe it, I would just call it a close-fitting, wide-ribbed, fisherman-style raglan roll neck jumper. Is that enough adjectives there? Of the Sea is a free Drops download and it's available via Ravelry. I cast on with 5mm KnitPro Symphony needles. It is largely knit in the round, but to be honest, these days I use my circulars for absolutely everything because they're light and the actual needle bit is relatively small. The recommended yarn is Alaska by Garn Studio, who are the people effectively who are behind Drops. But I used a sludgy green Aran yarn that I got from Aldi. It's part of the ton of yarn I bought over the last couple of years expressly to knit cardigans for me and jumpers for my husband, and several have now been produced. Of the Sea is a very simple design with no shaping headaches other than an at the same time kind of couple of plates to keep spinning when you're doing the neck shaping. The pattern's written across a huge variety of sizes, starting at age 12 to 14 years, moving through XXL, and I made it in XXL. The jumper is knitted in the round from the off. There's no welt. The 6x6 ribbing starts straight away and goes on for approximately 20 billion rounds, which is how it felt. And I think it was that, combined with a few other things, that just had me losing all interest in picking the thing up. Because my husband is overweight, I always have to make the body of a jumper longer than the pattern recommends, as it's going to be distorted going round him, which is harsh but true. But as every jumper I've made him so far, I think I calculate this to be the fourth, including the replacement to the Sea. There is a theme here. So every jumper I've made him so far has no shaping until you get up to the armpits, and that means that we have the freedom to make it as long as we darn well like. And I can't remember what changed. I was kind of putting this thing off. I knew it was there. And I find this happens in many areas of my life. I know there's something I should be doing and I put it off and I put it off. We're not talking anything critical here. And then one day it's like, I've had enough. I'm getting bored with myself and I'll just pick it up and get on with it. So I can't remember specifically what brought this on, but I have a suspicion that at the beginning of the holidays, I decided to go to Knit and Natter, having not been, I don't know, it's only every other week, so if I miss a week, suddenly it's a month since I was last there. And I think at the beginning of the holidays, I just thought that my son could come with me, and he loves the place where it's held. He goes off and helps the gardeners, and I thought, he can have a change of scenery. I'll sit and have some knitting chat with other knitters. And I thought, yep, okay, I'm going to pick it up again, and I'm going to ease myself back into it with this endless 6x6 rib, and that's what I did. So once I'd got the ball rolling again, it just kind of developed its own momentum from there. So it was fairly soon, it was long enough, it was up to the armpits, and we were motoring again. But I did find that I couldn't knit the entire evening because my left hand would start to ache. And, well, I broke my own rule last night, but usually as soon as my left hand starts to ache, I stop knitting because I know it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And normally the first sign, it's like, ah, that's it. With this jumper, I think because it is so repetitive, I have been guilty of taking my eye off the ball. I stop noticing things, and the underarms were the first casualty of this. I was so excited to have knitted enough of body that I instantly cut the yarn and began the sleeves. I just couldn't wait to get on to the next bit. The sleeves are knitted in the round as well. And I was partway through the sleeves when I realised I'd forgotten to bind off the body under the arms. So before I threaded it all together to start the yoke, I had to reattach the yarn, bind off under the arms. But I was sure at the time, and it's proven to be the case, that once all the finishing is done, that doesn't notice at all. I love getting to the stage of a raglan where everything is threaded onto one circular needle and the decreasing begins. It's more interesting, and of course decrease rounds just absolutely fly. The instruction here for the XXL size was to knit 25 decrease rounds alternating with a knit round, that's pretty standard, then 5 decrease rounds straight. And once you're 20 centimetres up from the start of the armpit shaping, to put some of the next stitches onto a holder. I immediately forgot to note down the decrease rounds as I did them, but I thought, oh, that won't matter because the stitch count will tell me when I've done that. And I forgot to monitor that as well. I think because this jumper is just so unbelievably boring to knit, I have to listen to something or have a conversation with somebody, or if it's in the evening, I'll watch TV. And so I concentrate on that, and I forget tiny details like counting the number of rows or the number of stitches or measuring how far I've got. So I knew this 20 centimetre figure was in my head, so I was periodically measuring. And I was at 9, and I was at 12, and I was at 14, and I just thought, oh, I'm just never going to get there. And then suddenly, not only was I at 22 centimetres, and I had absolutely sailed past the point where I was meant to put next stitches onto a holder, but I also hadn't got a clue how many increase rounds I'd knitted, even going by the stitch count. I was in a serious knitter's pickle. And I just couldn't work out what I had to do, so I left it till the next day. This wasn't during the evening that I realised all of this. So I had needed complete silence, a calculator and pencil and paper, and I managed to put together a plan. I sort of unpicked all the stages in my head. The first part of this plan was tinking back 7 or 8 rounds to get to 20 centimetres, because that was my first a fixed point, if you like, the first point where something needed to be done. So I counted up the rungs in the raglan stitches, the raglan where the actual raglan joining was happening on the front of the jumper. I counted the rungs so I could work out how many rows I'd done. And then I wrote out instructions for the next few rounds, which is never feel that you're sort of going back to kindergarten if you ever think, God, I could almost do with writing out row by row what I need to do. Sometimes that's exactly what you need to do. And it takes the guesswork out of it, and it helps you if you have got yourself in a pickle, or if you're just not entirely sure what's going on. It can really help to sort of calm you down, sort out what you're doing, and get you over a hump. So with this particular pattern, when you come to restore the next stitches from the holder to the needle, you have to pick up stitches on each side. I think it was 32 stitches on the holder, and then you had to pick up 4 stitches from the bound off sections on each side. I've always been a bit, I say daunted, not exactly the phrase, I just know I'm going to do it badly. So I suppose my heart sinks a bit when I see pick up and knit, because I think, oh, it's just going to look messy. And I wanted to check that I was actually doing it properly, so I went off to a Very Pink video. I'll stick a link to that in the show notes. I looked at a video for pick up and knit, but even doing that, I somehow managed to do it on the wrong side. So then I found that I was purling on the inside rather than knitting on the outside, which was going to cause me problems sooner or later. So as soon as I realised this is what was happening, I continued that first round, and then effectively I knitted back the way I'd come. You're meant to be in the round at this stage, but I just knitted back the way I'd come, and then joined to knit in the round. And what I did was I picked up a stitch from the row below at the beginning of the round to close up any hole. There's a name for that. Is it knit one below, I think? I'm sure I didn't do it properly, and I'm sure you're not meant to do what I just did, but it did the job, and it wouldn't be a project by me if it didn't have some bodging in it somewhere. So the last part of this is to knit 12 centimetres of 3x3 rib for the neck. My next project will have no rib whatsoever, and I kept very close track of the movements after last time, because I wasn't going to have this one going pear-shaped one way or the other. So the pattern instructs that by the time you've knitted 12 centimetres, you fold the neck over and you stitch it down around this band that you've knitted, where you've picked up the stitches for the neck and so on. But my husband didn't really want that. He wanted a normal roll neck. And of course, so I ended up having to do 24 centimetres of 3x3 rib. I'm absolutely ribbed out. An extra 12 centimetres just when I wasn't wanting it. Oh! So then I needed a stretchy bind off, because this is obviously, it's the neck, he's going to be pulling it over his head. And I knew, although I love the yarn over bind off that I use for socks, it's different when it's in a sock, partly because, certainly for my husband, usually the sock cuff is stretched quite well over the leg, but also it's hidden under trousers, so you're not seeing any of the sort of slightly ruffly frill effect you can get with the yarn over bind off. So I did the other thing that I normally do in this situation, which is the Russian bind off, which is when you effectively, what did you knit two and then you put one back on, I can't remember, but you basically, you're shuffling stitches around between needles, but it works. It gives you a stretchy bind off, but with no obvious effect on the outside. So overall, this is a simple pattern. You're using just a couple of techniques. I'd go so far as to say I think it would probably make a good beginner raglan project, because it's not overly complicated. If you're going to knit a true raglan, there's going to come a point where you have to thread everything onto the same cable and go from there. And that it is daunting the first time. I remember the first time thinking, oh no, my stitches are going to be so loose around all of there. But actually, you know, it doesn't work out like that. And I think I really like the finished result. A true raglan is one of my favourite things to knit. Especially if you're doing it for a child, because then the actual body of the jumper isn't a huge project you have to psych yourself up for. So it is repetitive. So if you are easily bored as a knitter, I don't suggest you try it. Perhaps this is more one for the process knitters than the project knitters. So yes, generally, if you want something that only needs half your brain, if that, most of the time, and if you need a simple ribbed raglan jumper in your life, then go for it. My husband's hardly taken it off since I made it, although it's warmer today, so he has peeled it off, but he really likes it. It looks nice on him. I thought he looked very distinguished. If you'd like to see pictures of that, then they'll be on Instagram and also my project page for this pattern on Ravelry. Naturally, when you're bored with one project, your mind strays to the next. I've mentioned before, I want to make myself a cream winter cardigan, so I was unfaithful to Of the Sea. Before I had finished it, I took my son swimming on Friday, today is Monday, and I cast on for a cardigan called March Basic by Barocco Design Studio. We were running slightly late. It wasn't a swimming lesson, but he wanted to go for a particular session. Slight exaggeration, but we were a little tight for time. So I only had a couple of moments to just grab something to knit. And I knew, because of what was happening, I knew he could be in the water for up to an hour and a half. And I just couldn't pass up that opportunity. So to cover my options, I took Of the Sea, I think I was still on the neck at that stage, plus I picked up a skein of Grey DK, some of the Lilac Marl 5-ply that I used to knit Hertz, and a load of Cream Aran, plus my entire set of KnitPro Symphony interchangeables and a knitting magazine. I thought, rightly as it turned out, that having that huge jumper draped all over me as I finished the neckline would just be too, it would be unbearable because it's so hot and sweaty in the spectator area at the swimming pool, and when you've got a large Aran project on the go, it's horrible. So I was looking at my other options. I do want to make a couple of the 40s styles from the issue of knitting that I was talking about, and I think probably in the last episode, my pressing need is for a winter cardigan, so that's what I cast on. Through my phone, I was able to browse my pattern library at home. That's not the one on Ravelry, it's one that I have on the server, but my husband's very much a technical head and we operate a server at home. So I was able to access that, look through my pattern library, and I've stored up a few Aran cardigans over the last little while because I've had an eye on doing this for ages, and March Basic is the one that I decided to cast on. I'll talk about it more when it really gets underway, but to sum it up, it's a sort of hip-length, V-neck, Aran button-up cardigan. It's simple and it's plain, but it's not sort of drab or shapeless. There's something I just like about it. In the pattern photo, they've got it in navy blue, and I love it. I just think they've styled that photograph so beautifully. I really like it. But I don't have any navy Aran, and buying more yarn is not the plan. So I cast on with my 4mm KnitPro Nova Cubics, and that was a real pleasure because I haven't used them in quite a while and they really are lovely. So that's what's one of these patterns where you cast on in a smaller needle to knit the welt. Did I say no ribbing? Well, it was only an inch, even if it was 1x1. Honestly, if they did brownie style knitting badges, I would have my ribbing badge by now. So after a further knit decrease row, I switched up to 5mm needles, and I have just the one pair of 5mm, well, I have the one pair of 5mm interchangeables. I suppose technically I could have moved on to long straight fixed needles, but thinking about it now, it didn't even cross my mind. So I was at the point where I couldn't, well, as far as I was concerned, I couldn't carry on with March Basic because I needed the interchangeables, which were on Of the Sea. So I just had to leave it there. And I think I'll be asking Father Christmas. Father Christmas isn't going to have a terribly heavy sack when he visits us this year for various reasons, one of which I hope I can share with you later this year. But I think he might be able to manage a pair of 5mm KnitPro Nova Cubics. I've enjoyed using the others so much that now that I need to add more needles in, they will be what I'd like to use. And even though the 4mm pair, they have bowed slightly, but I don't think even I could snap them. And of course, that then put me in the position where I had to finish Of the Sea in order to be able to carry on with March Basic. And I've made really, really good progress with March Basic. And today, when I was helping my son with some baking, I have managed to burn my fingertips of my middle finger and my ring finger on my left hand, and I tried just now and I can't knit. I've also got a load of name tapes to do. My children go back to school on Wednesday. My daughter has all new shirts, so I've got to do all those name tapes, and I have a hole to sew up in one of shirt belonging to my husband, which is very appropriate because according to Twitter it is hashtag make it and mend it Monday, or make it mend it Monday. Anyway, something like that. So I'm making and mending, but I'm also burning, so I'm just going to have to see how that works out. To cut a very dull story short, from now on I have to cover up in the sun. I know this sounds a bit random, there's a reason for this. I was told a few years ago I should cover up in the sun, I ignored it, and this summer I have paid the price. It's nothing to do with getting sunburn. And I've been wondering for the future, I mean, it's September just now, it's alright, but how to manage this come the warm weather when it arrives next year without having to be swathed in heavy clothing that sort of covers me up, because I do love wearing camisoles. It seems to be something I say all the time, I don't know why, but it just seems to come up. and they've obviously they're sleeveless, and I was just sort of thinking, how would I manage that, because my arms are the thing which have sort of suffered the worst. And I remembered the was it Pearl Soho evening shrug that I made last year. I don't know if I'd make exactly the same pattern again, but I could make simple shrugs in other colours and patterns. Incidentally, if you'd like to hear about the shrug, if you weren't a listener at that point, go back to somewhere around episode 12. I definitely talk about it in episode 12, and probably also continue to ramble on about it for the next few episodes. I was putting out an episode a week at that point. This was made to match a dress I was wearing for a party last summer, and I found the most extraordinary colour match. The dress was just a cheapie from a place down in Honiton, and I couldn't believe I found yarn to within a gnat's crotchet of the same very particular shade of orange, which sounds hideous, but actually it was lovely. And so I learned quite a lot doing this shrug, but as a basic concept of something which covers your arms, you can make that as long as you need to, and covers the top of the back. And again, you know, different patterns give you more or less coverage across the back, but the basic concept seems to be you knit the sleeve in the round. Once you get to the shoulder, you start knitting back and forth across the top of the back, and then you resume knitting in the round to go down the other sleeve. That seems sort of basic concept. The one I did for the party was a little bit fancy. It had a sort of fancy lace cuff, which was fine for that, but not something I would be looking for in a, you know, an ordinary everyday basis. But I was quite excited when I thought of this. I've got DK, I've got 5-ply, so I'm bound to be able to find a lot of patterns. Certainly DK, possibly 4-ply, 5-ply, because they are more of a summer thing, so I'm optimistic I'll find patterns in the summer weights. So I'm looking forward to making some of those, but that is going to be New Year at the earliest. So I talk about planning ahead. I'm sitting here in September thinking about what I might want to wear sort of May of next year. Do you find yourself looking at a pattern that comes with a recommended yarn, because virtually they all do, and not being able to tell what weight the recommended yarn is? Now, this is probably just my ignorance, but I notice this a lot. It's become quite a bugbear. Often, I would really love to use the recommended yarn, but I can't on the whole. If they've got wool in them, I can't wear them anyway because it drives my skin to distraction. I need to use up my stash. God, I never imagined it would be this hard to use up a stash. And I don't have the budget to buy smart yarns. I don't actually have the budget to buy any more yarn at the moment, but I'm not even going to turn around and look at my stash because it will just guilt me terribly. So I look at a pattern. I think, yes, that's lovely. It says use unicorn tears yarn, blah de blah, and I think, well, I can't. I wonder what weight that is. Oh, it's not telling me. That's useful. But there's a solution. It's mildly irritating to have to go off and look it up, but the yarn tab on Ravelry is your friend in this situation. So just click on the yarn tab, enter the name of the yarn that's recommended in the photo, and there'll be a review, and included in that, or there'll be a numerous reviews, included in that will be what the weight is. So that's pretty handy. I know Hertz is a perfect example. Not using the recommended yarn can affect the end results. I know that Hertz would have turned out better if I'd used the recommended linen-based yarn, but that's life. It's fine. I'm going to tinker about with the sleeves on Hertz, I've decided, and then I know I'll be more likely to wear it. But so you always have to bear that in mind if you're going to be a yarn rebel. But hey, it's good to be able to get the information. Also, if in fact you really do want to use a recommended yarn, but it's discontinued, it's not unusual, you may well find that people have the recommended yarn for sale through Ravelry. So think of it a little bit like matching china. you can often find what you're looking for. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me. There'll be links to everything I've talked about in the show notes, and I probably will speak to you again next week, because it feels like March Basic is just streaming off my needles, which is fantastic. So as long as these blessed fingers heal up fairly soon, which I think they will, I've put my secret weapon of lavender oil, as well as sitting with my fingers literally in iced water for about half an hour. So I'm optimistic they'll be back to good before too long, and I can carry on with March Basic. Talk to you soon. Happy knitting. Bye.